All right, let's dive into something you might not expect. Mold making materials.
Mold making.
Yeah, mold making. It might not sound super exciting at first, but trust me, this stuff gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What kind of stuff are we talking about?
Well, we've got this awesome guide written by a mold designer, lots of practical tips, and they even share some funny stories from their work. By the end of this, you'll be able to impress any engineer.
Sounds like a plan.
So, whether you're designing products, working in manufacturing, or just curious about how things are made,
Which I definitely am.
you're going to learn a ton.
Awesome. Let's get started.
Okay, so let's kick things off with the basics. Carbon tool steels.
Carbon tool steels.
Yeah, they're like the workhorses of mold making. Our source really breaks down the different types, and it's cool how each one has its own, like, personality.
Oh, that's interesting. Like what?
Well, think of low carbon steel as that super flexible friend who can bend over backwards without breaking a sweat.
Okay, I can see that.
It's all thanks to its ductility, basically how much it can stretch without breaking.
Gotcha. So, what about the tougher, stronger types of steel?
Well, those are more like weightlifters. Super strong and hard, but not as flexible.
So, it's all about trade-offs.
Exactly. It all depends on what you need the mold to do.
That makes sense.
Our source actually has this awesome table comparing all the different types of steel. It shows how they each excel in different ways.
I bet that's super helpful when you're actually choosing a material.
Totally. Let's say you're designing a product. Like, imagine you're making a sleek new phone case.
Ooh, I love a good phone case.
You need a mold that can handle those intricate details without cracking under pressure. So, what kind of steel would you pick?
That's a tough one. I guess I'd want something super hard, right?
Exactly. You'd probably go for something like the high carbon steel our source talks about. It's great for things like stamping out thin metal sheets.
Okay, but I'm guessing there's got to be a catch.
There is. It's not very hardenable, meaning it doesn't respond well to treatments that make it even tougher.
Ah, so if you need a mold that can really take a beating, you might need to look at other options.
Exactly. It's all about finding the right balance for the job.
Makes sense.
Okay, so we've got our carbon steels, but our source also gets really excited about what they call alloying elements.
Alloying elements, what are those?
Think of them like adding spices to a dish. They enhance the flavor, or in this case, the properties of the steel.
Okay, I like where this is going. Give me some examples.
We'll take chromium, for instance. It boosts hardenability, meaning you can make the steel even tougher.
Interesting.
Or manganese, which adds strength and helps resist wear and tear.
So it's like giving the steel superpowers.
Exactly. Like the source talks about adding tungsten to steel, and that creates something called high-speed steel.
High-speed steel. I'm guessing that's for things that move really fast.
You got it. The tungsten gives it something called red hardness. It can handle crazy high temperatures without losing its strength.
Wow, that's impressive.
So if you're working with like molten plastic or cutting materials at high speeds, that's the steel you want. The source even talks about using it with abrasive glass fiber, which is incredibly tough on the mold.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay, so we've covered carbon steels, but what if you need a material that can stand up to like rust or other corrosive stuff?
Good question. I know that can be a big problem in certain environments.
Exactly. And that's where non-ferrous metals come in. They're like the rebels of the metal world. No iron, so no
I
rust.
like it. So, what are some examples of non-ferrous metals used in mold making?
Well, our source seems to really love beryllium bronze.
Beryllium bronze.
Yeah, it's not just strong and rust resistant, it's also a champion of heat conductivity.
Oh, right. We talked about that earlier. So it helps to cool things down quickly.
Exactly. They describe how beryllium bronze inserts in a mold help to cool plastic super fast during injection molding.
That's smart. So it speeds up production and prevents defects.
You got it. Faster cooling means faster production times, which saves money and boosts efficiency. And yeah, it helps prevent those warped or uneven
Like
parts.
a win-win situation.
Totally. Now, beryllium bronze sounds amazing, but what about aluminum alloys? I know those are used a lot in manufacturing.
Yeah, good point. I'm curious about those too.
They are. They're super lightweight, which makes them easy to work with, but they're not as strong as some of the other metals we've talked about.
Ah, so they're great for applications where weight is a concern, but maybe not the best choice for super high pressure situations.
Exactly. It's all about choosing the right tool for the job, right?
Definitely.
Okay, one last category of materials our source mentions is hard alloys. They describe them as like the heavy hitters of mold making.
Hard alloys. Those sound intense.
They are. We're talking about materials like tungsten carbide, which is so hard it can actually cut through glass.
Wow. but I bet they're not easy to work with.
You're right. That strength comes at a price. You need special tools just to machine hard alloys.
So they're kind of like the elite athletes of mold making, huh? Top performers, but with a demanding training regimen.
That's a great analogy. And speaking of high performers, we can't forget about composite materials.
Composites, like carbon fiber and stuff.
Exactly. They're kind of like the new kids on the block in mold making, but they're making a big splash.
What makes them so special? I know they're used for things like airplanes and race cars because of their strength-to-weight ratio.
Exactly. Imagine a mold that's both lightweight and incredibly strong. That's what composites offer.
That's amazing. So how are they used in mold making specifically?
Well, for starters, they can be molded into super intricate shapes without adding a lot of bulk.
And I bet they're super resistant to corrosion too, right?
You got it. Plus, they're often made with recycled materials, which is great for the environment.
That's awesome. It sounds like composites are really shaking things up in the mold making world.
They definitely are. But with all these amazing materials to choose from, how do you actually decide which one is right for a particular project?
Yeah, that's a great question. It seems like there's so much to consider.
There is. Luckily, our source has a whole section dedicated to answering that very question. They break it down into key considerations, starting with mechanical properties.
Mechanical properties, so like strength, hardness, and toughness.
You got it. But it's not just about picking the strongest or hardest material.
Right. I guess it's about understanding the specific demands of the job.
Exactly. You got to think like an engineer. You have to ask, will the mold be under a lot of force or pressure? Does it need to be resistant to scratches or abrasions?
That makes sense. It's like a puzzle, figuring out what properties are most important for each situation.
Totally. And our source also stresses the importance of considering things like cost and production volume. Are you just making a few prototypes or are you mass producing thousands of parts?
Right, that would definitely influence my decision. You wouldn't want to use a super expensive material for a one-time project.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance between performance and practicality.
So, what other factors should we be thinking about?
Well, our source also talks about the desired finish and tolerances. Some products need a super smooth, polished surface, while others might require very precise dimensions.
Ah, so the material can affect the look and feel of the final product.
Absolutely. They even share a story about choosing a specific type of steel because it was known for producing a super high-quality finish, which was essential for their design.
Wow, so every little detail matters.
It really does. And let's not forget about the environment the mold will be used in. Will it be exposed to, like, corrosive substances or extreme temperatures?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Those conditions could really impact the lifespan of a mold.
Exactly. And you don't want to choose a material that's going to break down quickly.
Definitely not. So we've got mechanical properties, cost, production volume, finish, tolerances, and environment. Anything else?
One last thing. Our source reminds us to think about the practicality of working with different materials. Some are easier to machine, shape, and finish than others.
Oh, right. That ease of processing thing we talked about earlier.
Exactly. They actually admit to making mistakes early in their career by choosing materials that were super high performing, but also incredibly difficult to work with.
That's a good reminder that sometimes a simpler material might be the better choice, especially if you don't have access to all the fancy equipment.
Totally. It's all about finding that sweet spot between performance, practicality, and of course, budget.
It sounds like there's a lot to think about when choosing a mold material.
There is. But that's what makes it so interesting.
You're right. I'm already learning so much. So what's next? Where do we go from here?
Well, now that we've covered the basics of mold materials, welcome back to the deep dive. Last time, we went deep into the world of mold-making materials, from carbon steels to composites.
It's pretty fascinating stuff.
Right. But today, we're going to focus on a group that our source is really passionate about: hard alloys.
Hard alloys. What makes them so special?
Well, they're not for every situation, but when you absolutely need the most durable and accurate molds.
They're the go-to choice.
Exactly. Our source talks about how crucial they are in industries like electronics and medical devices.
Yeah, those fields demand insane levels of precision.
Totally. Even the tiniest flaw can have huge consequences, so you need molds that can handle the pressure.
Makes sense. So, what makes hard alloys so tough?
Well, they're incredibly hard, so they don't bend or warp easily.
That's got to be important when you're working with such tiny, intricate parts.
Totally. And they have amazing wear resistance.
Wear resistant.
Yeah, meaning they can be used over and over again without losing their sharp edges or details.
Oh, so they hold their shape really well.
Exactly. And let's not forget about their ability to handle high temperatures. Remember red hardness?
Oh, yeah, from part one. It means they can withstand super high heat.
Right. And hard alloys are champs at that.
So they're like the superheroes of mold making.
That's a great way to put it. They're tough, precise, and can handle extreme conditions.
But I bet they're not easy to work with.
You're right about that. Our source is really honest about the challenges. Like, one of the biggest drawbacks is that they can be brittle.
Brittle, what does that mean?
It means they can crack or break under stress, even though they're so hard.
So it's like a classic trade-off. Super strength, but with a potential weakness.
Exactly. What else makes them tough to work with?
I'm guessing they're pretty difficult to shape and machine.
You got it. You need specialized tools and expertise, which can get expensive.
Makes sense. So they're like high maintenance, but worth it for the right application.
Exactly. So, where do these tough, hard alloys actually come into play in mold making?
Yeah, I'm curious to see some real-world examples.
Well, our source talks about them being used for things like punches and concave molds.
Okay, I'm not familiar with those terms.
No worries. Imagine you're making a tiny metal gear for a watch.
Okay, got it. Tiny, precise part.
The punch is the tool that presses down on the metal sheet to create that gear shape. It needs to be super strong and accurate, which is why hard alloys are often used.
Ah, so they're like the heavy hitters of mold making. What about concave molds?
Think about a bowl or a cup. They have that curved inward shape.
Okay, makes sense.
Hard alloys are often used to create molds for those kinds of products.
Because they hold their shape so well.
Exactly. They're also great for making molds with really intricate designs and fine details.
It's fascinating how something as simple as a mold can be so
I
complex.
know, right? So hard alloys are great for precision and durability, but they also have those downsides we talked about.
Right, like being brittle and difficult to work with.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing all that specialized equipment makes them expensive too.
You got it. Hard alloys are definitely pricier than some other mold materials.
So it's all about weighing the pros and cons, right?
Absolutely. Our source stresses the importance of balancing those benefits against the cost.
Makes sense. Okay, so stepping back for a minute, I'm wondering what are the main factors someone should think about when choosing A&Y mold material?
That's a great question. It can feel overwhelming with all the options out there.
It totally does.
Luckily, our source gives a helpful framework for making these decisions. They start with mechanical properties.
Oh, right, like strength, hardness, toughness, and all that.
Exactly. But as we've seen, it's not just about picking the best in each category.
Right, it's about finding the right balance. What about cost and production volume?
Those are crucial too. Are you making prototypes or mass producing thousands of parts? That totally changes the equation.
Right. You wouldn't use a super fancy, expensive material for just a few prototypes.
Exactly. What else?
What about the level of detail you need in the final product? Does that matter?
Absolutely. Our source even shares a story about choosing a specific type of steel because it was known for a really high quality finish. It was super important for their design.
So the material choice can affect the look and feel of the final product.
Totally. And let's not forget about the environment the mold will be used in.
Oh, right. Like, will it be exposed to harsh chemicals or extreme temperatures?
Exactly. Those factors can seriously impact the lifespan of a mold.
So you got to pick a material that can handle the heat, so to speak.
That's a great way to put it. And last but not least, remember that ease of processing idea.
Oh, right. Some materials are way easier to work with than others.
Exactly. Our source learned this the hard way, choosing high-performing materials that were a nightmare to actually use.
So sometimes it's better to go with something a little less fancy if it means easier production.
Exactly. It's all about balance, performance, practicality, and budget.
It sounds like choosing the right mold material is like solving a puzzle.
It really is. You have to consider all the pieces to find the perfect fit for your project.
So we've learned about hard alloys and how to choose a mold material. What's next on our deep dive?
Well, now that we have a good grasp on materials, all right, welcome back to the deep dive. We've spent the last two parts exploring mold-making materials, getting into all the nitty-gritty details.
Yeah, from their properties to the challenges of actually working with them. It's been fascinating.
It has. But now I'm really excited to see how all of this knowledge translates into, you know, the real world.
Right. Like, how are these materials used to make the stuff we see and use every day?
Exactly. It's one thing to talk about the strength of steel, but it's a whole other level to see it in action.
Totally. So where do we start?
Well, our source does a great job of connecting those dots. They give specific examples of how each material is used in different situations.
Okay, cool. Like what?
Well, they start with injection molding. They describe it as one of the most common and versatile manufacturing processes.
Injection molding. Okay, I think I've heard of that, but remind me, how does it work?
Basically, you inject molten plastic into a mold.
Okay, yeah, I can picture that.
And then it cools and hardens into the shape you want.
Right, right. And that's used for a ton of stuff, right? Like toys and electronics. And...
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Car parts, medical devices, you name it.
Wow, so the choice of mold material must be super important.
It is. And our source highlights the use of copper alloys, specifically beryllium bronze, for inserts in these injection molds.
Ah, beryllium bronze. The heat conductivity champ.
Exactly. It helps pull heat away from the molten plastic really quickly.
Right, which prevents defects and speeds up the process, like we talked about before.
You got it. It's not just about speed, though. It's also about making a better product.
That's so cool. It shows how knowing about materials can lead to some really clever solutions.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've seen how beryllium bronze shines in injection molding, but what about other processes like die casting?
Die casting? Isn't that for making metal parts?
It is. It's kind of similar to injection molding.
Okay, but instead of plastic, you're using...
molten metal.
Wow, that sounds intense.
It is. You're basically forcing liquid metal into a mold under high pressure.
And then it hardens into the shape of the mold.
Exactly. And it's great for making those really complex shapes with tons of detail.
Like engine parts for cars or the metal casing of a phone?
You got it. So what kind of materials do you think are used for die casting molds?
Well, it has to be something that can handle that heat and pressure, right?
For sure. Our source mentions aluminum alloys as being a popular choice.
Ah, yeah. Aluminum. Lightweight and good at conducting heat.
Exactly. Which helps keep the process running smoothly.
But we talked about how aluminum alloys have limitations, right? Like, they're not the strongest.
Right. So they're good for a lot of applications, but maybe not the best when the mold is under a lot of stress.
It's interesting how each material has its own pros and cons.
It is. And that brings us back to those hard alloys we talked about before.
Oh, right. The super tough ones.
Exactly. They're the real MVPs when you need both precision and durability.
Like those tiny parts in electronics and medical devices.
Right. They need molds that can handle incredible detail and won't wear down after a few uses.
So they use hard alloys for those tiny punches, right?
Yep. And for concave molds too, remember?
Right, right. The bowl-shaped one.
And because hard alloys are so resistant to wear and tear,
they can make a ton of parts without needing to be replaced.
Exactly. It's amazing to see how these materials are at the heart of so much of our technology.
It really is. And what about the future of mold making? Any cool new stuff on the horizon?
Our source mentions the growing use of composite materials, which are, you know, super strong and lightweight.
Yeah, and resistant to corrosion. We talked about that.
Right. They even mentioned ceramic-based composites, which can handle crazy high temperatures.
Oh, that's next level. What are they using those for?
For some really cutting-edge stuff. But it's not just about new materials. It's also about new technologies.
Like what?
Well, they talk about how things like 3D printing and computer-aided design are changing the game.
Oh, yeah. 3D printing is everywhere these days.
Yeah.
I can see how that would totally revolutionize mold making.
Totally. Making it faster, more efficient, and even more precise.
That's super exciting.
It is. So as we wrap up our deep dive into mold making.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. We've gone from thinking about mold making as this kind of niche topic
to realizing it's actually at the core of so many industries.
Exactly. And the materials and techniques are constantly evolving.
It's a good reminder that even seemingly ordinary things can be super complex and fascinating.
I totally agree. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We hope you learned something new.
And that you're just as amazed by the world of mold making as we are.
Until next time.